We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, episode number 297. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local. Well,
hey,
pal,
Ross.
Enjoying the summer?
Oh, man, it was a beautiful weekend. Beautiful. Holiday, yeah. The weather was nice. Holiday was nice. I was just wishing I had a beach to go to. Instead, I cruised around with the Jeep with the top off, so I had to do.
Yeah. Saw the photo. That looked good. Was the did you have Monday off, too?
No, I came in and worked Monday. A lot of people took it off, but I had too much to do.
Yeah. It's like a day we get to catch up. We get all excited.
I know, exactly. Today's kind of one
pathetic.
Of those days, too.
We had it technically off, but yeah, I worked part of it, too. I had to do a billing and all that fun stuff. Got to keep nice. Everything running, right?
Exactly.
Ah, jeez. Oh, well.
We missed
on
last
that note.
Week. I know, because we missed last week, and then we had a holiday, but all that time, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening that we need to talk about.
Yeah, so holy crow, there's a lot going on here. So I didn't get to read all of this, and I guess you didn't get to, maybe probably didn't get to read all the ones I saw, but.
Some weeks we're struggling to find things. Some weeks we struggle to figure out how to fit it all in a show. This is one of those.
It is. And tons of questions. I'm not even, like you said, I'm not even sure we're going to get to, but we're hopefully going to get there. So we'll see. All right. Well, let's start with Yellow Pages being purchased by Dex. Actually, I was going to look up the article on it just to have any little more insight into it. But what is your take on it so far?
I'm not sure. I'm still trying to. I was looking for an article too to see if it was actually approved. I know they were talking about it, but I didn't know it got approved by the FCC. So I don't know yet. I'm not 100% sure it's happening. And then some articles I said is. It's kind of muddy for me at the moment.
So here, I'll post a link here on our notes. Undisclosed terms, but $2.3 billion is how much revenue Dex is YP. Dex YP, that's their new name. wow, that's just weird. But anyway, they're confident this is going to boost their marketing capabilities, and I guess that will. Yellow Pages has been a dead dog here for a while, in my opinion. All we seem to do is just take business away from them.
Here, basically, it's a citation that I go get for local search clients. That's about it. YP.com.
you see how many people are spending money. They don't have a clue what they're getting, it seems.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, it depends on what they do, really. I mean, they could take this in a couple different directions. They could take it down the direction of really expanding the services they offer, and I don't mean expanding by building better quality products. So, I mean, expanding their call centers and their automation more than anything. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Sounds like they're going to be one of my competitors even more so. It says here, quote unquote, this is from thestreet.com. DexYP will cater to small and medium-sized businesses. Dex offers a small business management app, Thrive, formerly known as DexHub, which it plans to offer to 700,000 clients across 48 contiguous states. Quote unquote, the company believes up to 8 million small and medium-sized businesses could benefit from access to Thrive. Unquote. Oh, I'm sure they do feel that way.
Yeah, their sales team crafted that sentence very carefully.
Hopefully it'll just send more business to our waiting hands, but I guess we'll see.
If it's another competitor in the highly automated, high pressure sales environments of these companies that do mass market local search and small budget PPC stuff, it'll be interesting to see what it does to that competition, but I don't think it's going to change for the clients that really understand, the clients you and I usually have that understand why those programs are not really that beneficial. I don't think it's going to change that much.
Right. This is interesting. I know from at least what I read that it was a $600 million buyout, which we kind of chuckled. We're saying that's kind of like seed money for companies these days. But anyway.
Yeah.
This must hurt. Private equity firm Cerberus Capital Management in 2012 paid $950 million for a 53% stake in YP.
Ouch. Yeah. That wasn't a good investment. Just going to say.
Oh, boy.
Also,
Yellow Pages had a $316 million term loan and a $140 million asset-based lending facility outstanding as of September 30th. Yeah, that's
so hurt. They paid $600 million and got like $500 million in debt along with the deal. Wow.
What the heck? Dex and its predecessors have weathered a total of 5 bankruptcies. Dex most recently exited Chapter 11 on August 1st, cutting its total debt to $600 million. Dex!
The company that bought them.
From $2.4 billion. That's a pretty big jump. This is weird, man.
Let's just suffice it to say that unless they make some major moves, I don't think it's going to have much of an impact.
They sound like two sinking ships that have just sort of
clinging to each other,
slashed up together to make it last a little longer.
Maybe they can find ways to find efficiencies in the work they do. I'm sure they're going to trim staff. They might find a way to make a merger work, help them both survive. You never know.
Yeah, well, the extra weight does make them sink faster.
So. That could be a possibility.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, let's move on to something more positive. So, Google My Business has made a few changes recently. It's been teased, I guess, for a good month now. That's when Mike Blumenthal posted the first time I saw anything about this. And that's Google My Business Posts. And this is something that anyone with a Google My Business page that's been verified will probably have received a note about getting posts, the ability to add posts to their page. And you're just writing something here. Not all categories launched. Oh, I thought there was.
No, they actually came out and said they have not launched all categories yet. So if you're not seeing this available for yourself or your clients, you might be in one of those business categories that this hasn't launched yet. And I believe hotels is one of the categories that they hadn't launched yet.
Okay. Well, I have seen it for, I think, most of our clients. So I'm even dentists. So I figured it had been launched at everyone.
Yeah, they were gonna roll it out across everybody, and maybe and it's been a couple weeks since it launched, so maybe they've caught up. But when it first launched, it wasn't everybody.
Frankly, if it comes out to Canada, I figure it's out everywhere.
Good point.
Mind you, I got so many American clients, I don't even know. Maybe it wasn't Canadian that I saw. Anyway, pretty sure it was. And an added note.
Do you want to describe what it is for people who are not quite familiar with what the posts are?
Oh, sure. So when you're working with Google My Business, they're giving you the opportunity to post any sales, any kind of updates, anything that might be of benefit to your prospects. So people who are going to maybe doing a search for a local restaurant or heck, even a dentist in this case, they can go there and they can see that there's a deal happening right now. So you get a chance to post content that shows up in the knowledge panel. It's not just a normal search result like in the heavy search results, but on the right side under your business name, it'll show this information about what kind of deals you might have.
Does it show, where does it show up in Google Maps? Is it showing there yet? I know it shows up in the knowledge graph, and if you go to the My Business profile page, but does it show up in Google Maps yet?
I actually haven't seen a live copy of it yet. I don't think I've seen anyone really leveraging it. I've talked to people about doing it. I think it's just so fresh, people haven't got around to it in my little world here.
I immediately had people asking me questions about, are we going to update our products? Are we going to add this to our local SEO services? And I'm always one that says, Google does something. Let's wait a little while. We used to wait almost 2 months. Now we wait about a month before we make any changes to products based on things like this. And I'm really glad I did because, when it first launched, there was really no way to tell if it had any impact whatsoever on your local SEO, right? We knew it was great for your customers, great for your communications and your marketing, but I'm selling local SEO, so I didn't have any idea whether it had any impact there, and we still don't. But the news that came out in the last couple of days tied to the fact that those posts expire after about 7 days means the idea that it's going to have any long-term value towards your SEO is pretty minimal, if at all.
The cool thing, though, is that you do have access to adding content within search results. That's pretty new, and it's kind of a neat opportunity. What it will mean, who knows? They do have a few, of course, requirements around that content. They want people to ensure that they're not doing anything overly promotional, which is kind of funny. Since it seems like a very promotional area.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way.
But it's actually a long list I don't have in front of me, but I remember looking at it and going, oh, okay. It should be interesting to see how badly this is abused.
Yeah, and if you're looking in your clients or your Google My Business and you see the posts interface, I'm sure there's a link there to Google's documentation about that we'll have of that entire list.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about some algo update rumors and some facts. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
How much are your best ideas worth? PriorThings.com gives you an added layer of protection for all of your intellectual property, ideas, and creative things. New business idea, pitch deck, PowerPoint presentation, song lyrics, source code, killer blog posts. We help you protect it all. How do we do it? We use the same technology platform that secures transactions for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Learn more at PriorThings.com. Check out exclusive listener pricing for Cranberry Radio listeners by going to bit.ly/FounderCircle.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, Zo Social, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. Zo Social is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let Zo Social give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to zosocial.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. All right, so you compiled this. I haven't been really following this because I haven't had any clients get hit by it. So tell me about it.
Yeah, I haven't been following it that close, but I've been hearing a lot of talk. So I wanted to make sure we covered it so everybody kind of understood what was going on. So apparently around June 25th, Barry over at SEO Rabble and pretty much every other news SEO news publication out there started talking about conversations and rumblings they had heard about algorithm shift updates. People were seeing a lot of movement, a lot of changes. Google, of course, wouldn't, officially confirm, yep, we're doing an update. Barry reached out to John Mueller's, and he said, yep, we make updates all the time. So he was being vague as well. So there seems to be something going on, but nobody really confirmed it. It pretty much seems to be the par for the course these days with these updates. Then a while later, Barry, that's the first time I've ever seen him do this, really. He posted an article. It started off, says, I failed. Basically saying he couldn't find any patterns talking about whether or not the June update fit any particular type of update, whether it was a content-based or a link-based or technical-based or any other kind of base. For it, there was no apparent pattern at all of the fluctuations that people had been seeing. And at the same time, the week after or so, people started reporting that they had started recovering those losses. So still question now about whether that was, in my mind anyway, whether that was a real update, whether it was a hiccup, something was testing on a wider scale that would change some stuff. The facts here are the normal facts. We don't know. Something happened, then it didn't, and we don't know why. That's pretty much Google in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I appreciate Barry posting that. I know, it probably took a lot for him to finally realize there's nothing here. You know, just move on, and good for him. So, yeah, he made the post, and it had to be done.
So if you're reading about that and you're worried about it and you were digging, just relax. I wouldn't worry too much about it at this point. Now, if you listen to Dave Davies, we got something to worry about coming up in the future. He posted this cryptic thing on Facebook last week, I think. Did you see that, Ross, that he posted? He basically said, it was a short post on Facebook, said, huge update coming to Google in the next, coming soon. And that's all he put. And then people were asking him questions, and he was being vague. He wouldn't tell us anything about why he thought it. So if you believe Dave, and Dave's a smart guy, I mean, he's been in this industry for a long time. So if he's going to go out on a limb and post something like that, I'm going to say there's something behind it. He's just not, pulling it out of his, right? So follow Dave Davies, talk on Twitter, connect to him somewhere, and when a big update comes, you can tell him you were right. But apparently, according to Dave, something is on the way.
Well, I don't know. It does seem a bit vague. He says, someone asked, how do you know? He says, quote unquote, it's mainly from what's being said and not said by Google, combined with the way things are rolling out and some minor fluctuations. It's mainly my spidey senses, but they're pretty good these days.
Yeah, like I said, it's a rumor.
So we'll see. It's a pretty safe bet there's an update coming. How big a one? Who knows? There's some big stuff that Google has been working on. We know that, the mobile update, all that stuff, but they're rolling it out slowly. Yeah. I don't see anything that big coming, but maybe Davey's privy to something we're not.
Yeah, the mobile first update is the most potential in my mind to be pretty big and impactful across the gamut of things, right? But you're right, they're rolling it out slow. I just read something today saying that they said they're going to roll it out for sites that are ready first. So they're actually not going to just blanket with this rollout. They're going to look at the site, see if it's ready for that update, and then switch it, which is really a good way to go about it if that's exactly what they're doing. So the sites that are not ready for it won't be switched over right away.
Yeah. So we'll see. Wouldn't panic. It's Google, unless you're doing something wrong, Google's been pretty gentle with their updates. That's what I've noticed.
Recently.
Yeah. Yep. Well, recently being the last few years.
Yeah, pretty true.
Pretty good.
Good point.
Now you're cursing my country, man. What's up?
I know. Freaking damn Canadians. So the Canadian Supreme Court did a ruling saying that Google had to remove some search results worldwide. I mean, not just in the Canadian search results, worldwide.
Booyah.
So basically, Canada is forcing Google, and I'm not sure how Google's going to react to this. I'm sure they're lining up the lawyers to push back on the worldwide thing. But basically, the Canadian Supreme Court said, Google, you have to take this out everywhere. So I'm not sure how Canadian Supreme Court law will hold up in Kenya or Pakistan or London, but the Canadian Supreme Court seems to think that they have the ability to make that calling. It'll be interesting to follow.
I think the key here is it's all about setting precedent. Even the European Union are all on top of this too. So it's finally a large body has done this. Now I'm not at all pro censorship on a wide scale. I don't mean just worldwide. I mean in terms of what content's being done. In this case, quote unquote, this is from the judge. This is not an order to remove speech that, on its face, engage freedom of expression values or freedom of expression values. It is an order to de-index websites that are in violation of several court orders. We have not to date accepted that freedom of expression requires facilitation of the unlawful sale of goods. I agree with that.
So yes and no, I agree with that, right? So what if a dictator in a very horrible small country somewhere whose rules his land with an iron fist has a court ruling that says, you know, any news about how horrible I am must be removed from Google, and his country's Supreme Court upholds that ruling. So does that mean news countries across the world are now no longer allowed to have their stuff published
in Google?
No,
you don't understand. You don't understand that Canada knows it can't control that. It's just ruling it.
Sure, you may be able to hear just how crispy the McDonald's Crispy Juicy Tender Chicken Sandwich is, but that's just the beginning. The full Crispy Juicy Tender experience comes after you take your first bite. But why stop there? Order ahead on the app and get medium fries and soft drink for free. Now that's a deal that tastes even better than it sounds.
Valid 8:30 to 9:19, 10:11 to 10:31, and 11:22 to 12:12:21. Valid one time per week. McDonald's app download and registration required.
Sur Amazon, des prix bas où vous voulez, quand vous voulez. En vous promenant, par exemple.
C'est un super prix.
Ou même en gravissant une colline.
C'est un super prix.
Qui est en fait une montagne.
C'est un super prix.
Amazon, des prix bas où vous voulez, quand vous voulez.
But what you're saying is it set a precedent, right?
So it's a precedent in the country, yes.
In the country, but can you say in Canada that somebody in the United States is not allowed to do something
because of your laws? Look at Trump.
Well, I'm just
saying it all the time. It just doesn't have an effect. I mean, yeah. it's just the effect is maybe we should start thinking about this, and this is the higher courts, right? And I think that's an effect. If a dictator says it, well, they already do in China. Look how much stuff's already censored, even in Google.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's already been done. It's just in this case, Canada has ruled this. It doesn't have any teeth other than the fact that, I mean, we're
it is Canada.
Other than the fact that we have great relationships, right, that with these other countries, and we're known to be an outstanding country.
Hey, I tease, but I got to stop my teasing because before long, Canada could very well be the most influential country in North America.
Oh gosh! All right, well, we've already gotten a little political enough, but it's definitely. I read it quite intensely when I heard about it. Like, oh God! But then, yeah.
But does this tie in at all to the other thing that happened to Google with the European Union fining them $2.7 billion for unfair practices tied to the way they do their search results, right? Do these things connect in any way?
I don't know. I mean, if there's precedent set, yes, it could. It's certainly something that someone could give them. It could give someone in Canada or another country the ammunition, because they've already seen it won, and they've seen the arguments that made it happen, worthwhile, you know, could give them the impetus to try it in their own country.
I don't know if they're worried as much as they are strategizing, because it'll be really interesting to see how they react to all this. And they could be worried.
It's only 4% of their annual income that they're paying here. It's not much.
Exactly.
But it could add up.
Yeah, over time, definitely. And is it, if this whole thing about these unfair practice fines, you know, expands into other countries outside the EU.
Yeah,
for sure.
Within countries, it's done all the time. Even Danny Sullivan was saying that even through the DMCA, Google's done that in the U.S. for years.
Mm-hmm.
Digital Millennium Copyright Act, for anyone who doesn't know. So, yeah, it's very unlike Canada here to be all that bold about all the other countries. I kind of thought it was cool. We're like, woohoo! But, yeah, really, what is it going to do? I don't know. It's very interesting. I'm kind of intrigued to see where it goes.
Me too, actually.
Okay, well... right. Well, I guess we kind of touched already on the next bit, which was the fine. Do you want to touch on it anymore? The $2.7 billion dollar.
I think we combined the two into a good conversation.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, $2.7 billion was the fine from the EU to Google. Again, I think if someone said it was around 4% of their annual income, or is it profit? Is it profit? Annual profit, probably.
Yes.
Geez. So you posted about a console data delay.
Yeah, this was interesting to me because we saw this in action for a couple of our clients. And we're like, what's going on here? So there's a delay. So if you have a client or you have a website that you're working on and they don't have Google Search Console, and you do your due diligence and you get them set up and you get them verified, I was always in the impression that Google always collected this data. They'd had all this data, and that you verified it, and boom, you get access to the data. Apparently, it takes 4 to 6 days from once you set up and verify your account for Google to display any data in your Google Search Console. And I've seen this happen to a couple of our clients. And I don't think this is they're going to start collecting data for 4 or 6 days and then start showing to you, because they show you much more data. I think it's more on the lines of it takes them that long now to go through the process of turning everything on. I'm not sure, but it takes some time to get all that data into your console. Yeah.
Monkeys have only so many moments in the day.
Yes. So if you're working with clients and you want to show them something, just plan ahead if that's a big part of presentations or data that you need for a particular client. Just make sure you build in at least a week ahead of time to set that up.
There you go. All right. Well, we've got a few things left here, but I think we better take another break. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess. Cranberry Radio is your new destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Get educated and entertained by our panel of on-air experts and peers, and engage with us anytime by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn, so you can reach us before and after every program, located on our new social shareable live streaming player. Access the new Cranberry Radio live stream player at our website, cranberry.fm.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think eBrands. Free and unlimited SEO audit reports. eBrands. Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators. eBrands. Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators. eBrands. Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for eBrands.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. visit fjorddigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorddigital.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advance Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So I saw this article on Search Engine Land and it made me chuckle. The title is, and it's certainly needed, and I'm glad the person wrote it, but how to determine if that free audit solicitation email is legit. So I get these things. People offering a free audit of Stepforth, a free audit of First Dentist, or whatever it might be, and it's just like, okay, you have no idea who you're talking to or where you're sending this to. You have no idea this is a marketing company. It's so shotgun blasted everywhere. Random. Anyway, this thing is all about, you know, whether or not to tell, you know, if this is true or not. So first of all, I state that unless you're dealing with someone who really is so new in the industry that they can afford to do this, a free audit is never going to be legit. You know, because they'd have to spend a lot of time to do a true free audit. Now, of course, a free audit could just be a few stats, I suppose. It's all about the complexity of it.
And I'd say 99% of the cases somebody does a free audit, it's one of those automated tools that you can go find those free tools yourself anywhere and do it yourself, right? Yeah. You might not understand the data you get, but they're not going to explain the data either in these free audits because that's their sales pitch is, okay, here's your audit. Here's all the problems you have. You know, hire us and we'll fix them for you. So they're not going to explain it because they're going to try to sell you. It's the same stuff you'd get from any of those free automated SEO tools, audit tools.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been doing audits for almost decades now. I could say that. Wow. And they, you know, they've been built up to the point where they take 8 to 10 hours to do at least, and they're so in depth that there's just no way you could give that away free. So if you really want any value, and you don't want to pay someone to give it to you, even you know, just as Diana put here in this article, just go to Google Console. I can't speak today. Google Search Console, and you've got a lot of data, and it's the data that Google sees and Google wants to share with you. That's the caveat, partly, right?
And they have a lot of recommendations in there too. If you go to the HTML recommendation section of Search Console, there's a lot of things they tell you that would be something you would find in an audit as well. It's almost like an automated Google audit of your site.
Exactly.
For some of it.
Now it's only going to show you what they really see or care to show, but like really see in terms of what they want you to know, but it is, it's certainly one of the elements we actually look at in our audits, because it is valid info. You've got to look at it. It's some low hanging fruit there, and it certainly saves you some time. So check that out. If you don't have access to Google Search Console yet, make sure you do. Just type in Google Search Console in Google search results in search engine, and, you'll find it. And it's a simple process of getting it, verified and getting access. But like you said, it takes around 6 days for that content to show up.
Yeah, and you can also find it if you type in Google Webmaster Tools.
Yeah, I was waiting for that because you haven't said that once today. I was like, wow, he really is turning around.
I have to, dang it.
All right. So I know Danny's been really important to you over the years and certainly to all of us, but maybe you want to share this first.
Yeah, Danny Sullivan, who was one of the first journalists covering search, he started the original search conferences that we all used to go to. When he sold that, he started SMX Search Conference. So he's a big part of this industry as a whole and has been since the very beginning. And he's retiring. He says he's taking a leave of absence, but that Matt Cutt said the same thing when he left. So it's going to be a different world without him. I think he's leaving good teams behind him where he's at. All these publications and conferences will be in good hands, but we'll be missing him for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only, obviously the loss of Danny and his perspective, I think, is the biggest
loss here. But the, also the other, the only thing that really concerns me about it, and it's not much of a concern, frankly, but is that that window into Google, whatever it was, it may be hard to rebuild that again. Who is the person that's going to step in and take that over who has the same amount of clout?
Is there anyone? I don't know. I mean, the only person I could think of, if we're talking about like the website and search engine, I mean, Matt McGee is there, yes, but I don't know if he has the type of connections that Danny has into that, like you said, into that inner circle of Google. I mean, Danny's been around for so long. Matt's been around for a long time, too. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think he has the connections and the trust that Danny does. He can build it, absolutely, and he has a lot of it, but Danny's at a level above everybody.
Yeah. And I, like you said, he's not gone. So I'm sure Danny can facilitate those connections and help Matt build them if Matt indeed is going to take over, which would be a logical move.
Yeah, definitely would.
Even though I somehow offended him, I still don't know how. I don't offend people easily, I don't think, but apparently.
I think it's because you're Canadian. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it must be. It must be. All right, so this is interesting. I didn't see this, so tell me about this. The worst thing about SEO is...
And this is such a great read. You got to take some time to read this.
Oh, cool.
If you search for the worst thing about SEO on Reddit, there's a thread in the SEO subreddit called "What is the worst thing in SEO?" And there are so many people bitching and complaining, and just it's so amazing the amount of things people are talking about and the things they're dealing with in our industry. And it's a great read from the perspective of, okay, I don't want to be the SEO that these people are talking about. So you can really go in and say, this is the kind of stuff I want to make sure that I never do. If you want to be good, quality, respected SEO in this industry, it's a wonderful, and it's funny. Some of it's pretty funny, especially for us that have been in the industry for a long, long time. So definitely go in, take a read, get a glass of wine or beer or something, and prepare to sit there for an hour or so. It's pretty good.
It is pretty funny, actually. I've seen quite a few chuckles here. Well, I'm definitely going to check it out because I find it fascinating. And once in a while, I mean, you think you've heard them all, then you hear them and you're like, what? Someone did that? So I don't know. It's always revealing. All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of the show. We do have a lot of questions. I think we might be able to do a whole question show the next one. We'll have to see.
We even have some Mulefiles we're skipping this time.
Yes. Yes. Wow. How rare is that? My God, yeah. I don't think that's happened, actually.
We could do the first one real quick, couldn't we? Because that's an easy one.
That's true. Yeah, so this was something that Barry put online. It's he's always good at capturing all of the content that comes out of Mueller's, what is it called? The Google Webmaster Hangout, I guess it's called, or something. Anyway, yeah. He tries to answer a number of questions in this answer, but the question was whether or not you can really control. I'm not even going to get into the question. It's going to take too long. It was really confusing. But just the fact of the matter is, it just revealed one aspect of Google's indexing. That is that they can index content within iframes. Now, what that means is sometimes people have on a page within a page, like the old days of frames. In this case, it's an iframe or inserted frame is how I've always sort of figured it out. That's what that meant. And it can be added anywhere on the page, but within this box, you can scroll and it's content from another website. Well, if that was the only thing on the page and you just had a title and then this iframe, Google would show that page in search results, the main page that has the iframe, with that content as the as the information within, like, say, the description. And that's because Google sees them both. And that was sort of the reveal that there is Google can see them both and will treat them as both. Now, that doesn't mean they get the benefit of that content that was created elsewhere. That content is still going to get, the benefit's still going to be passed to the originator of that content.
I don't know
about
that. It's
just a little stickier that way, though.
See, I don't know about that. I think I took two things from this. One is that Google has figured out how to tell if content in his iframe should be indexed on the page that it's viewed on or on the page it originates from. They actually are able to tell the difference, and they will do it both ways, right? So that means that they have some kind, something built in the algorithm to decide whether, where that content should live as far as a relevancy standpoint goes. So I think there are going to be instances when content in an iframe will be relevant to the page it's loading in, and there'll be instances to when it's not. It'll be still, the value will go back to that original page.
Well, relevance isn't for the discussion, though. That it's about the benefit, the ownership of
the benefit, the relevancy of that content being passed to the page is the benefit, I guess. I'm glad I may have said it wrong, but that's exactly what I was saying. The benefit will live either place. Google has figured out where to, they have a method to determine when it goes to one and when it goes to the other. That's, I got that from that.
If that were to happen, I'd have to see why. It's got to be a real outlier.
Because there's
a page with the iframe that's going to do that. Otherwise, you could hijack content.
There's a lot of places that, I mean, there are a lot of people who use iframes internally on their own website because they want to load an application or they want to load something and they want to manage it from a different place and they want to load it on multiple places on their site. People have used iframes for a lot of different reasons internally on a website, right? So that would be a case where I think Google would understand, yeah, this content belongs in this page, so we're going to pass the value in this page, right?
We're talking about off-site. Okay, yeah, within the site, that makes sense.
Iframes can be used on or off-site, though. Right.
Yeah,
I don't think there was a definite differentiation.
That is true.
Right. So the other thing is, a lot of people have used iframes in the past to hide content from the search engines for one reason or another, which means that if that's something that you have done or you know has been done in the past, it may not be working for you the way you thought it was. So just be aware of that.
I love it. I love it. It's always it's always neat to see where Google's at. I mean, you know, it had to have happened years ago. I mean, no one had any doubt that it's been around a while that this was happening. But, you know, I would just laugh so hard if someone went, oh, my God, really?
Iframes are part of the original HTML specification. I mean, iframes have been around since I first started learning HTML in, 1995, right? So if they haven't figured that out, they had plenty of time to figure it out. Let's put it that way.
They can index a link, and that's pretty much what it is. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, it's done. My gosh, that was fast. All right. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.